got the forecast. Nashville Nipper was second. Yortham went third.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Yes, as is typical on a Sunday morning, this is Racing Across America, and I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us as always. It'll be a full show today because typically on a Sunday we do some stakes recaps, and man, there was a lot of stakes action yesterday, particularly notable obviously on the three-year-old scene with stakes action playing into the Derby Trail, New York, Florida, Santa Anita, Kentucky potentially as well. So again, we'll hit on all of that as we go through today's show. I'll take a look at some of the stakes action, Aqueduct and some Santa Anita. We'll pull in that Battaglia from Turfway. And then towards the bottom of the hour, we will be joined once again by our friend Steve Bick, Sunday morning co-host in the summertime, but all year long. You can catch him on Sirius and XM's At the Races, and the At the Races radio program has been making the kind of the Derby Trail sweep through the important venues over the past few weeks. We touched in with Steve 2 weeks ago, three Sundays ago, from the fairgrounds after their big day, last week at Oaklawn after their big day, and yesterday he was down at Gulfstream for Fountain of Youth Day, so we'll pull Steve in for some thoughts on that Gulfstream card yesterday. You know, certainly simplification, enough points to be prominent on the Derby list now of points leaders, and earlier in the card, Speaker's Corner continued to look very good in this four-year-old season. So going to be fun to check in and get some thoughts there. You know, get a little some follow-up notes from Gulfstream Park. But as I said, there was other great action. We'll hit on that as well. But speaking of Gulfstream, as always, do want to mention the championship meet is underway, and we thank Gulfstream for their sponsorship during the championship meet. We appreciate their support of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. And speaking of events at Capital OTB, there are a couple worth noting. Today, if you're a patron at the Hudson Branch, we'd love to have you stop on by. It's a fan appreciation day. The Healy Boulevard in Hudson, New York, fan appreciation day this afternoon at our Hudson Branch. As I say, we'd love to have you swing on by and give us our chance to say thank you to you for your patronage. Also, there is a Rainbow Six mandatory bankroll today. You can check the website. I think they're probably still a chance to put your name in the hat. I was going to say there's still openings, but chance to put your name in the hat. The team will be randomly selected, both online, 10 folks selected online, but 5 will be chosen here from the Clubhouse Racebook. So certainly, if you'd like to come down to the Racebook, you have until, you know, some point in the afternoon to put your name in the hat down here. But you can check online and see if you can still try the online entry as well. CapitalOTB.com. Look for that Rainbow Six bankroll logo and click on that. I will be playing this afternoon on behalf of the bankroll team. It's a mandatory pay. They just gave out the mandatory last week where they had a million something in the pool and it went up to, 8 million or whatever. They don't have that kind of money in the pool, obviously, after having given it out last weekend. But they wanted to take advantage of, you know, just with the Fountain of Youth, a lot of good buzz, and they were expecting some nice weather. They said a couple days ago, hey, let's put a mandatory in on Sunday. So they're expecting at least a couple of million dollars in the pool. Should be fun. So we'll take a swing with the bankroll on behalf of the bankroll team, and hopefully knock it out of the park. That'll be the game plan. We'll see if we can keep you going. It was a good day yesterday. If you were watching during the afternoon or picked up the one sheet, particularly at Oaklawn, the top picks on the sheet had the late pick five and the late pick four. So the last 3 weeks, the one sheet has been kind of performing very well. So certainly see if we can keep things going today, especially with that rainbow play. Knocking on wood, hoping to make a little magic happen. All right. Take a look at some of the action down at Aqueduct to start out. First off, we'll look at the Gotham. I like Dean's List. Dean's List will be the number five horse for Todd Pletcher. He'd been 2-for-2 off a couple of sprints from stretching to the one-turn mile, an angle I like. We were getting 5-to-1. I thought Dean's List around the turn, I was feeling pretty good. I thought we were in a good spot out on the lead. But Morello, who I had right underneath, Morello, the nine horse, comes in for Steve Asmussen off a couple of nice wins, including a win in the Winkfield. He'll get to Dean's List. I thought here Dean's List was going to have a little heart. But once Morello gets by, then he just opens up. The chart margin winds up to be 4.5. Morello was the even money favorite. Dean's List does hold on for second. So third career start, stakes debut. Dean's List, I thought, was okay. Golden Code at 27-to-1. Third, Life is Great at 46-to-1 fourth, so a couple of bombs third and fourth. But again, my top two flip-flopped on top. Asmussen over Pletcher for $26 exacta if you played around with those picks. And as I say, I like Dean's List. I like that setup. And I don't think that was a bad performance, but Morello certainly looked very good there and came out with a legitimate number. The buyer yesterday in the Gotham, 96. And for what the three-year-olds at this point are firing, that's a solid number. So Morello, 3-for-3 now, all day late wins, stretched out to the mile last time yesterday and did that successfully off a debut at 6, a follow-up to Winkfield at 7. Now at the mile, they'll have to try the two turns. But the folks in the winner's circle were very excited that both the Busher and the Gotham, full winner circle of very excited people in the post-race comments. They were super excited, and they're, you know, kind of booking their rooms already for Louisville and saying, hey, we can always cancel, but certainly looking good at this point. So Morello now 3-for-3, and as I say, has been pretty solid in all of the victories, including yesterday's Gotham. Let's go back and look at the three-year-old filly side of things, the aforementioned Busher. Also at a mile, $250,000 up for grabs for the three-year-old fillies. I liked Radio Days. Radio Days goes off at 1-to-2 and disappoints, running fourth in the field of five, coming up from Florida, excuse me, for Shug. Venti Valentine, a New York bred. I said, you know, this horse coming off of the close-up second and the Demoiselle to end the season last year was eligible to be a very nice player in here. So I had that one in the mix. I mean, everybody was in the mix with a scratch-reduced five-horse field. But it does wind up to be the New York-bred Venti Valentine. First two starts of the career were against New York-breds. They were nice wins, including a New York-bred stakes race. Then ended the season with that close-up second to Nest in the Demoiselle. And then yesterday, wins off chart margin wound up to be 7 lengths at 5-to-1 for Venti Valentine. Manny Franco on board, and again, there was a big crowd in the winner's circle, and as it should be. It's fun to see the New York Final Furlong Racing Stable and company in the winner's circle, and smiles and high fives. And you're at this time of the year, and you have a good three-year-old, male or female. The potential is very high for winding up in one of the premier races in the country come late April, early May, given the calendar. And if you have a New York bred, even more reason to smile because your options are open. You head into open company and you knock heads, and maybe it doesn't work out. You come back and you pick up during the year some of the big New York bred stakes purses. But Venti Valentine looking very good yesterday in the Busher, and puts her name in the hopper for you know, Kentucky Oaks and those kind of races, certainly going forward. We'll have to, like Morello, we'll have to stretch out. We'll have to, you know, prove to be a winner going along. Already in the aforementioned Demoiselle, that was at a mile and eight. So as opposed to Morello, there is some there's some pretty good two-turn experience for Venti Valentine, but kicked off the three-year-old season yesterday with the one-turn mile. And as I say, has to prove to be a winner at the mile and eighth, but the performance in the Demoiselle says, yeah, the distance unlikely to be a problem. A little earlier on the card, it was the Tom Fool older horses sprinting six furlongs. And again, this was a field of only five as well. And Chateau was the horse to beat. And Chateau went off at even money. But I said when I was in here yesterday handicapping, admittedly, I had him in the third spot officiating. I had Chateau on top, Repo Rocks underneath. But then when I talked about officiating yesterday, I said it has to be in the conversation and has to be worth taking a little bit of a look at, in that two starts back down at Gulfstream, had won the Mr. Prospector, followed that up in the Fred Hooper, running third behind Speaker's Corner and Fearless. And Speaker's Corner is going to turn out to be one of the top horses this year, you would have to think. So that they then kind of look around and say, yeah, you know what, let's take a shot at the Grade 3 Tom Fool and ship up to New York, Safi Joseph and company. You know, just on the scenario, officiating was worth a look. And that's how it worked out. Chateau had the lead and was kind of going along here. Chateau, the number five horse, but officiating is making up some ground. And as officiating goes by, as often happens in these situations, you think you have a race, and then one horse gets the momentum. And the chart, it's hard to believe it here, but the chart margin winds up to be 5.5 lengths. And you can see here, now starts to pull away. And so officiating at a generous 5-1, given the scenario and the field size, $13.40. The Safi Joseph trainee does come north and makes the most of it, pulls down the winner's share of a couple of $100,000 purse, puts another graded stakes win on the resume. So nice performance from officiating. Chateau no better than second, fairly well beaten second. Again, about the eighth bull, you thought, man, it's going to be a ding-dong battle perhaps, but didn't turn out that way. Chateau clear of the third place finisher, Repo Rock. So it was the logical horses just in a juggled-up order that offered some value if you did kind of jump on the officiating bandwagon there. We talked about it yesterday with Jeremy Plonk, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, actually, when we talked about it kind of in a sideways fashion when we had Kenny McPeak on, because we brought up when Ken was on Tiz the Bomb, who had shown some real turf form early in the career, run second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, had won the Bourbon at Keeneland three starts back, started the three-year-old season. You know, you have a good three-year-old. I don't blame people. Try the dirt and see what happens. This horse did have a couple of dirt starts early in the career, not so much in the absolute debut at Churchill, but then won in an off-the-turfer last July at Ellis. So there was some dirt form. Even the win, though, was, you know, the number was a little light. Then the horse goes to the turf, proves himself on the turf nicely, winning a stake at Kentucky Downs, winning the Bourbon, second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But again, you have a good three-year-old, had shown a little bit of dirt form. Let's give the dirt a try. They tried the Holy Bull. The horse wound up well-beaten seventh in there behind Waito Barrio and Simplification and Mo Donegal. And so when we had Ken McPeak on a couple of weeks ago, we asked about Tiz the Bomb, and he said, yeah, you know what, maybe go up and try the turf way, try the old Spiral Stakes to Jeff Ruby, and, you know, to get a run over the track. Yesterday they tried the Battaglia, and then Ken McPeak said, you know, maybe as we get to late spring and summer, maybe we go over to Europe. You'll wind up at Ascot potentially or whatnot. So we'll see what's in the future for Tiz the Bomb, but certainly with some nice purse money, why not take the shot at the two stakes up at Turfway? And as we talked with Jeremy Plonk yesterday, you know, he was kind of mentioning, and as you looked at the PPs, it was clear Tis the Bomb just had the class in this field, given what this horse is. You know, a second in a Breeders' Cup race kind of put gave him the edge. Tis the Bomb's going to be the number 10 horse here, and going to have to work for it. The chart margin will wind up being only a neck over Stolen Base. Stolen Base, a Mike Maker run trainee that had come out of a third place in a turf stake down at Sam Houston previously. And you can see makes it tight here, but Tis the Bomb does get it done as the 8-5 favorite. And again, a 4-1 Stolen Base second. The Brad Cox race and Bloodline. A race was coming out of a kind of a prep stake win back on January 22nd at Turfway. A race winds up fifth in here. Bloodline, the other Brad Cox runner who we were talking a little bit about yesterday, winds up 10th in the field of 12. So they were a little bit disappointing, but not disappointing was Tis the Bomb who gets it done. And, yeah, the game plan at this point you would surmise is go on to that old Spiral Stake. And I'm never sure what if it's still the Jeff Ruby stake. I'm not sure if it's still that or what the name is currently, but it's that old Spiral there on the calendar. Nice purse to shoot for, and with the win now in this Battaglia, you would think that will be the road that Tis the Bomb will continue on. Although I suppose, you know, you could look for some kind of turf race maybe at Keeneland, and again, Ken McPeak also flirting with going to Europe. That'll be fun if they do that. It's always fun to see the Americans go over there and kind of knock heads. The Wesley Ward runners the past few years have been fun to watch. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll look at some of the Santa Anita action because they had a huge day as well. And again, a little bit later on, we will be joined by Steve Bick. Yesterday, he was at Gulfstream Park, so we'll get some of his thoughts on their big Fountain of Youth Day as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
To find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing, Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. I gave you the buyer for Morello in the Gotham. It was a solid 96. But Venti Valentine in the Busher, 92. That's a good number. And officiating winning the Tom Fool, nice 95 there. So solid buyers in the three stakes at Aqueduct, certainly. I didn't see a buyer yet for the Battaglia and Tis the Bomb, but I'll keep checking during the day, and if I see that later on, I'll toss that one out there as well. Over at Santa Anita, again, they had a nice stakes card there. They had those cross-country pick fives as well that combined the Gulfstream Stakes and the Santa Anita Stakes. But at the end of the card yesterday out at Santa Anita, it was the Big Cat, traditionally one of, you know, historically one of the great American races. I'm not sure this stacks up historically, but it was a nice field yesterday. Express Train was coming out of the San Pasquale win, was the 8-5 morning line favorite and went off as the favorite yesterday. Warrant got shipped in for Brad Cox, Flavian Pratt on board. And there, some news came out within the past couple of days, mostly yesterday, but in the past couple of days. This is going to be interesting. Flavien Prat and also, I believe, Umberto Raspoli will be moving their tack to New York in the spring. As it's just, you know, California racing, the field size and the number of dates and whatnot. I think a lot of these guys over the past few years, you've seen a number of these West Coast jockeys move east, not necessarily to New York, but maybe to Kentucky. But I think just purse size and just the number of opportunities makes it tough to stay out there for somebody, particularly like Prat, who's just riding so well. So we'll see how that affects California and how it affects New York as well. Certainly that will add to the quality of the New York jocks room. But Flavien Prat was on board Warrant. Victor Espinoza on board Express Train. Stiletto Boy was coming out of the third in the Pegasus World Cup behind Life is Good and Nick's Go. So third to those two wasn't bad. Those were the horses that seemed logical, and that's the way it worked out. The favorite gets it done here. Express Train, the number six horse. Warrant shipping in for Brad Cox, the number three, winds up second. Stiletto Boy, number eight, winds up third. Spielberg for Bob Baffert, fourth. Fourth at 20-1. I'm just kind of surprised at the price there. But you can see the top two kind of move away from the rest of the field. And Express Train winds up, chart margin is ahead in here. So the favorite gets it done, but shipping in Warrant makes some work for it there. And as I say, they were well ahead of the other bunch in the big cap, the Santa Anita Handicap Express Train, who puts together a couple of triple-digit buyers and has some down further on the page. But in the San Pasquale, he fired a 100 in the previous start, and yesterday a 104, a very nice 104, which is a lifetime best buyer for Express Train. So nice run for Express Train. Put him well over $1 million. Came into yesterday's race with $935,000. Took down the winner's share of a $650,000 purse. So the racing's newest millionaire, as it were, Express Train, getting it done in the big cap yesterday out at Santa Anita. We will move now to race number 10, one of the historically the big cap, one of the big races on the American racing calendar, and one of the really nice early season in particular turf races, the Kilroe Mile, grade one event, $500,000 up for grabs. When we talked about this one yesterday with Frank Miramati, there were four or five or six you could point out as being kind of interesting. Delaware is a horse that for much of the career was in New York. The past few starts has been out in Southern California. Beyond Brilliant, now a four-year-old, probably as a four-year-old, number-wise, would need to step it up a little bit to be in the mix, but I didn't think that was out of the question. Tell Your Daddy was coming in for Tom Morley, coming in from the Morley New York base at Belmont. Space Traveler came out of a third in the Pegasus Turf. So there was some interesting horses, but it's going to wind up to be Count Again. Count Again, a close-up third, very close-up third, less than a length in this race last year. Last time won the Thunder Road at Santa Anita, so was coming in off a nice win. Flavien Prat on board. Count Again, the number four horse. Space Traveler, the number eight. Subconscious, number two. And Beyond Brilliant, number three. And they're all right in the mix as they hit the wire. But you can see on the outside, Flavien Prat does get Count Again up as the favorite, 2-1 favorite, gets up. Chart margin is ahead 3/4 between first, second, third, and fourth. So it was a nice performance, nice late run coming from the back of the pack to just get up, a well-timed run to get up by a head. So again, Flavien Prat has been riding really well out at Santa Anita. It's going to be fun to see what transpires when he shows up in New York to knock heads with the really tough New York colony. And particularly it'll be fun up here at Saratoga, see a fresh face in there and who he's going to get kind of teamed up with and maybe get the chance to make some noise. We may have to adjust our thoughts on the jockeys battle up at Saratoga. But Flavien Prat gets it done yesterday in the Kilroy Mile with Countigan. And Countigan now 6 wins in 15 lifetime starts, well over $500,000 at this point, with yesterday's purse probably approaching $750,000, $700,000 at least in 15 starts. So nice stakes runner for Phil D'Amato. Count again, getting it done in the Kilroy Mile. A little bit earlier, it was the ladies on the main track in a mile, the Beholder Mile. This one scratched down, unfortunately. I mean, we started out with a we started out the day with a field of 5. There was already an early scratch in Moonlight D'Oro, but then Founders Day also scratched. So, unfortunately, you know, with $500,000 up for grab and a grade one, there was only 4 in here. En Voutant, though, was the interesting horse to me. The Ken McPeak trainee, who had a pretty nice career, verging on $1 million with well over $900,000 in the bank and 16 starts with 6 wins. Coming out of a win in the Fall City last November at Churchill. So a little time off, been working down at Gulfstream. But oof, En Voutant yesterday winds up 4th in the field of 4. The winner turns out to be, As Time Goes By, for Bob Baffert. Who's riding? Flavien Prat on board at 30 cents to the dollar, $2.60. So it goes out off as the overwhelming favorite. And again, number 6, En Voutant. You can see that the chicklet going back there. She went off at the second choice at 5-2. But boy, that was a disappointing performance. But As Time Goes By, nice win. Buyer figure 95 for As Time Goes By. So a decent little number. I should have mentioned in the Kilroy Mile, a very good number for Countigan. Countigan had a 102 buyer, so nice performance there. All right, let's go to a little bit earlier on the card, because this, if you're tuned in, if you're plugged into social media, this race had some buzz. We talked about it yesterday with Jeremy Plonk. We talked about it with Frank Miramati. And they were both skeptical if Forbidden Kingdom could get the mile and at 16, could negotiate the 2 turns. Post-race, there was a comment from Richard Mandela, the trainer. Post-race, he said he wasn't sure early in the career if the horse... They were thinking last year at one point to try 2 turns. And he was skeptical and wasn't quite sure the horse would get 2 turns. But here we are, 3-year-old season. You have a talented 3-year-old. You have to try the 2 turns. And Mandela said, now that the horse has matured, he was a little more confident. Not so confident, he said, as they went by some of the splits, 22 and change, 45 and change, 110. As Forbidden Kingdom went out to the lead under Juan Hernandez and just took it all the way around, even with those fractions. And in Southern California, those fractions aren't as necessarily as potent as they would be on the East Coast. Things are always a little faster out there. Look at Forbidden Kingdom in the stretch here. A 98 buyer. And again, what the 3-year-olds are doing so far this year, a 98 is very solid. Chart margin 5 3/4 lengths. Doppelganger for Bob Baffert makes up a little bit of ground, but you're never worried. Happy Jack runs 3rd in there. Forbidden Kingdom was the even money favorite. Doppelganger was the 8-5 second choice. So first and second choices run first and second to give you, for your $2 exacta, $7 back. But it was a $4 winner on top. And again, a short price coming in underneath. But as I say, social media a buzz after this performance, understandably so. A 98 buyer, 5 3/4 length victory, and it looked facile. All the way around, legitimate time and whatnot. And so now has answered the 2-turn question, but a mile and a 16th isn't a mile and a quarter. But did answer that 2-turn question, looked pretty good. The question mark for a lot of people on social media, though, was, who did he beat necessarily? These are horses that are fairly lightly raced, but it's shown some promise. We'll see. But as I say, Forbidden Kingdom yesterday, getting a little buzz on social media, and I think justifiably so. So it'll be fun to see, what the next steps are along the along the Derby Trail for and Richard Mandel, you'd think Santa Anita Derby and then Kentucky Derby, but we shall see how they work it out moving to the eventually the Kentucky Derby. And again, points-wise, he zoomed up the list, the leaderboard. Why don't you just show one more from Santa Anita? They had a couple other stakes that I didn't pull up replays for, but I did want to show the San Carlos because we talked about this one yesterday with Frank Miramati. And, you know, whenever you get one of these horses, these kind of buzz horses early in the career that live up to it, and then there's a little speed bump there. It's always interesting to see how will they perform, how will they come back. Cezanne, multi-million dollar purchase at auction a few years back. Cezanne for Bob Baffert starts the career living up to that high purchase price expectation, wins the first couple of starts of the career, and then ended his 2020 season running fourth in the shared belief. He laid off from August of 2020 to April of 2021 and won the Kona Gold with a 106 buyer. So, you know, the first four starts of the career, three wins, a 106 buyer, then goes to the sidelines. From April of last year until January 29th, comes back in the Palos Verdes and runs third with a much deflated buyer. He won that Kona Gold with a 106. He runs third in the Palos Verdes with an 89. And so what are we going to get on Saturday afternoon from Cezanne? Coming in with a string of bullet works, though, so you had to think, the potential is obviously there to bounce back to a good performance. We got it yesterday. Cezanne, the number four horse here in the seven furlong San Carlos. Cezanne under Flavien Prat gets it done. The eventual chart margin is going to be 2.5 lengths as the 3-5 favorite. Principe Carlo second, Canadian Pride third in here. But again, all eyes were on Cezanne. Now, all of that said, a horse that had tossed in a couple of triple digits, including that 106 a couple of starts back, it was a 97. It was an improved effort from the Palos Verdes, but it was a 97. Now, how fast was he supposed to go? He wins that by 2.5, so it was a good performance. It's going to be fun to see. This is a five-year-old with only six career starts, four victories now. He'll be interesting to watch as the year progresses on the older sprint side of the game. But, again, it signaled that the last race was maybe a fitness builder off a layoff and a fluke as far as the talent level, because the talent level is still there. But, again, we shall see as this horse moves along the sprint division and starts to face some of the hard hitters in what I think is going to be a fun older sprint division this year. All right. Why don't we take our break? And when we come back, we will be visited by our friend Steve Bick. Again, he was live yesterday down at Gulfstream. So we'll go over some of the Gulfstream action with Steve. All of that right after this. Stay tuned. Morning, you got me?
Yep.
All right, I have you too. Let me just pull up the buyers here.
I'm Seth Merrill, and as serious horse players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a serious horse player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, we have been following the Derby trail of Mr. Steve Bick, the hitting on the big events down in the southern portion of the country a couple weeks ago. Fairgrounds last week, Oaklawn this week, Gulfstream. Steve, good morning.
Seth, good morning. Good morning, Capital District.
And before we get into Gulfstream yesterday, I always like to keep up with you and the Twitter account and whatnot. And I was interested when I pulled up the Twitter during the week, you had stopped at, I'm just checking the name, The Woodshed for a pulled pork sandwich. And what I thought when I saw that was, you're on the road. Are you getting touted on these? Or are you just driving by and like, hey, The Woodshed, I'll stop.
Come on. You can't put a pork chop past a bloodhound. What I saw as I'm driving by, I left Hot Springs after the show on Friday, and I was going to angle back toward New Orleans. I was flying back New Orleans to Fort Lauderdale yesterday, and I wanted to angle toward Vicksburg because I had come through Natchez on the way to Hot Springs. So I took a different route. So I'm driving by, and there's 15 cars in the parking lot, and okay, it's a small little town called Whitehall, actually. Whitehall, as opposed to Washington County's version, which is Whitehall. And I said, this has got to be good. So I go in, and the place is packed. Unbelievable. I don't know if you grabbed pictures of the sandwiches. We had a special, the daily special.
Ooh.
That's the pulled pork with coleslaw on board. And a bag of chips and a sweet tea was $6.49.
Wait, no, that can't be right. They gave you they left something off of that check.
Well, stick with this though, because I saw kind of a rarity, which was chopped brisket as one of their sandwich options. So I said, you know what? Throw me in a brisket sandwich as well, $4.99.
Okay. Everybody's got to put The Woodshed on their.
I mean, the pork was good. The pork was, you know, kind of melt in your mouth pork. The brisket was unbelievable, and then I went online later and found out that this is a real regional treasure, The Woodshed, and you know, might be tough to angle back through there anytime soon. Maybe on the next. On the next run between Hot Springs and New Orleans, because I'll tell you, there is no reason. It's 7 hours, 7.5 hours. There's no reason to fly from New Orleans, let's say, to Little Rock or to Memphis. I mean, there's reasons to go to Memphis, less reasons to go to Little Rock. But it was a 7.5 hour drive, and both to and from was just fascinating. I found things that I otherwise never would have discovered, including in a town called McGehee, Arkansas. There's a sign for World War II Japanese American Internment Camp Museum. And I said to myself, why in the world would there be an internment camp museum in Arkansas? My knowledge of the Japanese internment was strictly on the West Coast, and that was quite wrong. There were two relocation camps in Arkansas. The government took over bankrupt land, tax-held land. Jerome and Rohrer were the names of the two camps. They quickly, in a matter of months, with the Army Corps of Engineers, built two huge camps that housed basically 7,500 to 8,000 relocated Japanese Americans. That is a statement. George Takei, Mr. Sulu on Star Trek, his family was at this Roar Center. And I tell you, it was unbelievably emotional and affecting, you know, especially in lieu of the, you know, refugee crisis we're seeing in Ukraine. I just couldn't believe it. It was in a depot, in a very nice depot in this town of McGehee. There's all kinds of artifacts that were left or donated by the families of the Japanese. The woman, Barbara, she says that relatives, descendants of internees come there. There's been reunions and things. Just one of those things in the middle of America, you wouldn't have been aware of. I mean, on my way to Hot Springs, I run into that Lynyrd Skynyrd Memorial Grove where the Skynyrd plane went down in Magnolia, Mississippi. And then on the way back, I discovered this thing. It adds so much to, you know, what the day-to-day activity is following racing. I was on my way to Vicksburg too. I got there a little late. There was a big accident on right ahead of the bridge from Arkansas into Mississippi over the Mississippi River, and it held things up. So I didn't get in time to Vicksburg to tour that battlefield. But I will at some point, because it looks as extensive as Gettysburg or Antietam. So that's something else I want to do. Just a wonderful, you know, Americana swing, these last 3 weeks, just between New Orleans and Hot Springs and everything in between.
Yeah, when we were talking about it last week, you know, you were mentioning our history buff, and it's been fun to kind of follow the Twitter as you've made the trip and stopped at some of these locations. I have made the same drive. I've gone from Hot Springs to Fairgrounds. I did it the middle of the night, though. Now I know better. Now I know I have to go in the daytime. That way I can see how many cars are in the lot of the little food joint, and I can make my decision now. I'm getting tipped out into how to do it. All right, let's get to some of the action yesterday down at Gulfstream. Before we went on the air, you mentioned the Here Comes the Bride, which kind of wound up the day, so we'll start there and kind of work our way back. And we'll watch the Grand Motion runner. Yesterday in the handicappers report, my colleague Brian Natto made Spenderella his best bet. He said he was really impressed by the career debut back on February 2nd, the nice win. And so he was going to land on that one again. Second start, stakes debut, Spenderella goes off as the 8-5 favorite and wins pretty nicely here, the four horse. Opalina makes a pretty good late run. Mischievous Kiss also in the mix, running third. But boy, this is turning out to be a pretty nice little three-year-old turf filly for Grand Motion. Two starts and now a stakes win under the belt, a graded stakes win under the belt as well for Spenderella.
This was really impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I was trying to make a price, and I was trying to make Mischievous Kiss, part of the play. And I used Spenderella making a second career start. You think, wow, she's spotting a lot of experience to this field, and whoa, that was never in doubt. And what else was notable? I mean, she got bet like the been run. And sure enough, I mean, the money couldn't have been more correct. And Jose Ortiz rode her with supreme confidence, you know, putting her on top and basically just turning away everybody. This one was really never in doubt. Very impressive. And it's also a good win for Caracanti, the stallion, the Breeders' Cup mile winner. So Grand Motion, whose barn has kind of come alive in the last several months. This is a really good one. I'm looking forward to talking to Graham this week.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the sire, because I've said for a while now, Caracanti is one of those first out sires that kind of floats under the radar. And this one won the career debut at 7-1. And so worth kind of tucking that name in the back pocket. And you're right, the betting that this horse took so much action with the lack of experience and some of the other horses in here and trainer names and whatnot, the betting public was very savvy in there. All right, let's go to the highlight of the day, the Fountain of Youth. And You know, unfortunately, it was a spill marred fountain of youth, but the word coming out of the race was that both horses and both jocks were okay afterwards. But as I say, that did mar the events a little bit. But the winner, Simplification for Antonio Sano, who kind of does what he did with Gunavera about 5 years ago, comes out of a disappointing effort, or a little bit of a disappointing effort, and follows up with a win in the Fountain of Youth with Simplification. Go ahead.
Disappointing. He ran the reason he was the play in here was because he ran heroically. He
had
all the heat in that holy bull and stayed on nicely. To me, he was the horse. I thought maybe there was a chance Emmanuel would eclipse him in the betting, but Simplification, I thought, acquitted himself famously, I mean, terrifically in that performance in the Holy Bull. I went right back to him. He was fabulous in here. And yes, let's talk about the spill, because when you talk about, I mean, here, he's just powering away. The problem here is the horse that's going to come running for a second under, two-legged menace, Paco Lopez. And I don't know how much of the video you've got going to the turn, and there is good video of it that, is a loop, and so you can see it repeatedly. But Paco tries to go into a pocket. He basically pushes Dean Delivers out into, maybe the next path over, clips heels with High Oak, takes High Oak to the ground. He's okay. Junior Alvarado with a badly bruised left lower leg. He's okay. There was some real concern that he had maybe broken something. He's okay. Joel gets dropped off of Galt, who basically jumped outside. It also ruined any chance that Howling Time had to rally for any kind of a placement. Dale Roman's horse, because they kind of jumped over, the strewn bodies. Paco Lopez is a problem, and he continues to be a problem. Here we go. You watch you can see the four here, the red silks. He's going to try to knife up through. This is a little further into the turn. Now they're going to gather up. Now right there, boom. He basically pushes over Dean Delivers, and Dean Delivers and High Oak clip heels. I mean, this could have been a complete disaster. Luckily, Galt showed a lot of adroitness, kind of, giving a quick jump over, dropped Joel, but, he could have gone right over. I mean, they didn't disqualify in due time, which was nonsense, of course. And here's a new problem to talk about. Racing, has things to deal with all the time, and this is the latest, and it's not a new phenomenon. It's the inability to give the stewards a view of that portion of the race with an overhead shot, with a drone shot. We have technology that can provide them with that view. They're doing it at Indiana Grand, now Horseshoe. And I don't understand. I mean, it's 2022. I mean, luckily those drone Ukrainian, handheld things are keeping Ukraine alive in that war, but we can't manage to give an overhead view to the stewards to see what happened. So they said, we didn't have a good enough view of it to disqualify him. You better have had a good enough view to sit him down for 7 days. I mean, this Paco Lopez is just, he's a menace.
Yeah.
It's going to kill a horse, he's going to kill a jockey. No wonder Irad punched him out.
It was very scary, and it was just very good news that both horses got up, walked to the barns on their own power, and both jockeys come out, bumped up. But certainly, just because it looked like there could have been, and then you took some pictures there too, so you had both the jocks coming back. So it was good news that they were okay. But just going back to Simplification, I'm looking at your Twitter feed. You posted the buyer figures. Simplification winds up with a 96, which is right in line with some of the other three-year-old performances yesterday, and right in line with good three-year-old performances so far that we've seen early this year.
This is a really nice horse. And, of course, there was the crazy scenario that you had three not-this-times shoulder to shoulder in the starting gate for this race. Antonio Sano trains his horses hard. He and his son, I look forward to talking to his son, because Antonio, not too fluid in English. So we'll go back to his son. How about Gustavo Delgado, who manages one more time to interject himself? Here's O Captain, the longest shot on the board, rallying stoutly to be third at 87-1, and gives the triple a $500 look for 50 cents. He's amazing. Emmanuel ran okay, not great. The horse that was hurt by that incident was Dean Delivers, who, you know, I thought ran, you know, pretty well. I tried to get him kind of as my third horse behind Simplification and In Due Time. But to be honest, anybody that bet In Due Time and cashed anything, you're very fortunate, because he should have been placed last.
All right, let's go a little earlier on the card and take a look at Speaker's Corner in the Gulfstream Park Mile, because he continues to run well, obviously, coming out of the win in the Fred Hooper, which kicked off the four-year-old season. And he's just another one of these last-year three-year-olds that now has validated the talent early in the four-year-old season. And they're adding a real spark to the handicap division this year. And it was Speaker's Corner again yesterday, Gulfstream Park Mile. He'll be the number three horse here, getting it done. The chart margin winds up to be 5.5 lengths, 6-5. Fearless runs second, well beaten second, but well clear of the third place horse, Endorsed. Endorsed turned out to be an expensive claim at Saratoga last year, but I think the claim of $100,000 has kind of worked out for them, because, again, he comes in the money here in a graded stake. But this one was all Speaker's Corner, again, kind of validating what we saw last time and stamping himself again as a four-year-old to watch this year.
I mean, not that we didn't know Speaker's Corner, you know, was a serious horse, but every weekend we're getting another older horse, yeah, a four-year-old, that is, you know, really stamping themselves as something exciting. The older division gets better every week. Speaker's Corner, of course, a big figure, 106 Fire in this. This is a very serious horse. We'll see, you know, what the plans are. I'm going to assume they have to have the Met Mile immediately on their, you know, on their radar screen. Godolphin with one of their homebreds, and you know they couldn't have won I think any more eclipses than they did last year, and this is a major horse, and as a son of Street Sense, you know, who's starting to get you know, older, this is potentially, you know, Street Sense's, you know, next top son that'll end up, you know, going on to stud. This is a serious horse.
Yeah, and as you said, a 106 buyer, so just puts in a really another really nice performance. A little bit earlier on the card, also wanted to show, because, again, it's that time of year to look at the three-year-olds, both male and female, and the Devona Dale. I wasn't totally convinced on Kathleen O. I took a little pop with Outfoxed in here, and Outfoxed early on I thought was in a good spot and was maybe making a little ground that was going to put that horse in the thick of things late, but wound up a little bit disappointing, running fifth in the field of seven. But betting public was on it. Kathleen O goes off at 2-1, and Kathleen O for Shug in the third career start, third career win, chart margin a couple of lengths, wins at $6.60. So 3-for-3 now, and again, another nice-looking three-year-old filly to keep our eyes on. Buyer was only 85, but it was a nice-looking performance.
Well, this is a terrific performance, and she was held up a little bit. Javier Castellano, you could tell Javi was getting a little edgy on the turn, waiting for a seam to open, and he considered inside, outside, and eventually, you know, came kind of rolling up through, and off he went once she was produced. She's very tactical, and she, you know, adds to this filly picture. I don't know if you probably talked about the Busher, yeah, earlier morning, but Venti Valentine, the New York bred, who's probably going to be named champion. And we should mention that her major opponent for last year's two-year-old filly New York bred championship, Classy Edition, ran very well to be second in here. That was for Bob and Luana Lowe. So, you know, both of the two top two-year-old fillies from last year, among the New York breds, quitting themselves nicely here at the start of 2022. But Kathleen O and this is Wingate Stables, with a horse that was bred by Gainesway and the Malones, Bridlewood Farm. This is a really, really nice upstart filly. Happy to see upstart, get this kind of, product. And Kathleen O, looking forward to talking to Shug about her development. There's a lot to like about her. There's also a long way to go for these fillies to catch up to Secret Oath, if indeed Secret Oath is targeting the Kentucky Oaks. Feels like she's leaning more that way. Even if she tries the Arkansas Derby in a few weeks at Oaklawn, it feels like Lucas and the Bryland Farm people, they want to win an Oaks, and I don't blame them. But Venti Valentine and Kathleen O kind of adding to that picture.
And we did show him earlier. What were your thoughts on Morello and Forbidden Kingdom? I said earlier, Twitter went abuzz with Forbidden Kingdom, so we'll see how that works out. But certainly, acquitted himself nicely with the two turns yesterday. Morello will have to prove himself at the two turns, but I thought they were both pretty nice performances yesterday, obviously.
No, Morello was very good. And even though from a time standpoint, when the time went up, it didn't look like it was all that fast. What was it? 139-1. But from a figure standpoint, absolutely a respectable number, came back 96. And the way, Morello, I thought one of the parts of this that was very good was the way he battled Dean's List and basically there together for the entire race and was able to, fend that one off and go on with it. It would have been, would have been one thing if Dean's List had been swallowed up by those long shots, but he wasn't. He stayed on nicely. And so that was okay too. The Pletcher runner and Steve Asmussen, very nice. Going to have to find out more about this partnership that's involved. Blue Lion Thoroughbreds, Craig Taylor, and Diamond T Racing. For them to have a horse like this and the Classic Empire, it's a nice win for him as a young sire. So a lot of good results. When you talk about Forbidden Kingdom, that was, I'm sure, the step forward that Richard Mandela was looking for. This one was never in doubt. And, I think there's a lot to be excited about if you're Mandela and if you're the whatchamacallit team. For God's sakes.
My racehorse and Spendthrift.
Thank you. Spendthrift, a partner too, as well with the American Pharaohs. A very big win. It was a good day for American Pharaoh yesterday, who, if those who haven't noticed, American Pharaoh is moved into about third gear as a stallion. He had those early turf runners. Now he's getting a lot more dirt runners and very, very steady progress. Yeah, I think he's sitting second right now so far this year behind Into Mischief. I think there were at least one other. I forget who it was. It was As Time Goes By earlier in the card. The Baffert Coolmore mare that won the Beholder Mile, also American Pharaoh. So two nice graded stake wins, including a grade one. Look at you. Look at Brian with the video. Bang, bang, bang. He's on top of it.
We got the best. We got the best crew in all of horse racing television in here. Before we let you go, I also wanted to touch on, because I was listening to the radio show during the week, and you were at Oaklawn last weekend, but you spent the week there. It was the HBPA convention. Really interesting discussions with a lot of the participants there. Any takeaways we should get from the HBPA event?
Well, obviously, with the HBPA championing the lawsuits against HISA, and with the amicus briefs that have been filed now by seven states, we're watching and waiting for the court case, to be heard and for some decisions. In the meantime, the FTC on Friday approved the rules that HISA submitted for approval. That's the process. The horsemen, I would say this, the general consensus among the horsemen is they want uniformity. They want a lot of the things that the concept of HISA offers, but they don't want federal oversight that basically is illegal. And they feel rightly that the control and the management, at least the way in which this thing was passed as part of the, you know, the pandemic omnibus bill, there was no discussion, there was no interplay. The horsemen were not part of any discussion here. It basically was the jockey club, dictating terms. And there's, so many questions about how, what the administration of this is going to look like. It's supposed to start, mid-July, and there's just all kinds of mystery. So while the concept of uniformity and top-down management that can help the industry in a lot of areas, everybody supports that. The way this was done, however, excluded the horsemen, and those are the questions that have been raised. So the HISA issue was top of mind. And I would say also that fixed odds, I had a discussion that I thought was really interesting with a guy by the name of Richard Ames. We've heard from bet takers about their work in New Jersey with fixed odds, initiated by Dennis Drazen and Monmouth. But this is a second group out of the UK, and Ames, it's called SIS, Sports Information Services. They've got a slightly different approach. The fixed odds concept is going to be slow and steady upon introduction. So that was important. The horsemen, don't forget that a convention of HBPA or of the THA, when the horsemen get together like this, it's issues that affect them directly. So the questions they had about fixed odds were, what is the take that is going to go to purses? And, that's a fair question because the structure is very different than the parimutuel market. So that was the angle in which the horsemen were asking questions and listening to Ames's pitch about, the benefits of fixed odds. And the benefit is, and the hope is, that it brings a different element, a different demographic to the game that would benefit or would appreciate being able to lock a price in during the odds cycle. And there's a lot of reasons to believe that fixed odds would be a benefit. There is plenty of concern that it would cannibalize the parimutuel portion. And if it does that, and that the return from fixed odds is less than what anybody, what the rake is out of the parimutuel side, well, then there's legitimate, cause for concern. But if it brings in more business, if it brings in more players, and it increases handle overall, well, then it's a net gain. So, there's a lot of moving parts here. It's a complex, these are complex issues, but the game needs to be thinking about modernization and, new ideas. Steve Crist for years wrote about the introduction of new bets in addition to lowering takeout as being the two ways to increase handle. And so this is certainly one way. So I thought the fixed odds and the HISA concerns were the two, major issues that were dealt with this week at Oaklawn in the HBPA convention. We also had a nice conversation yesterday. We grabbed Charlie Sella, who was giving some remarks to the group. Lewis Sella, his son, who inherited Oaklawn from his late father, had sort of a midpoint discussion with him. They're evaluating this new Oaklawn season. They're going to tweak it a little bit. There's some complaints that the horsemen don't like sitting around for 4 days waiting for a 3-day race week. So that probably will be worked on a little bit. They're going to probably add some Thursdays. They're going to introduce the meet. They'll start a week later. They'll start the second weekend in December next year. So there's, they're massaging around, but things are very good at Oaklawn. And I'll also tell you, as part of that postscript to New Orleans, things are going to be good in Louisiana. I was talking to Louisiana people. There's HR equipment that are going to that's going to boost the purses in Louisiana, and that'll help everybody. That's going to help the whole circuit down there, from Fairgrounds to Louisiana Downs to Delta, and you know, the whole circuit, ostensibly Evangeline. All four tracks will benefit. So things are very healthy in Mid-American racing.
Ah, that's great to hear. And as I say, listening to the show last week from the HBPA, there were some really interesting conversations. And so did a great job down there. What's coming up this week for the radio show? I guess, what, at least early in the week, you're going to be in the studio, right? And then the last stop on the tour?
Yes and no. Casey is getting ready to move the studio, so it's a little torn up. So I'm going to actually broadcast from Gulfstream tomorrow and Tuesday, and then we'll shift over to Tampa probably for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, either Thursday, Friday or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then after we wrap up at Tampa, and I'll probably talk to you next Sunday from Tampa, or maybe I'll talk to you on the road from Tampa to Ocala, because the OBS March sale will kick off the two-year-old and training sale season. Looking forward to that. I mean, it seems like everybody is going to be at OBS March. I mean, one bloodstock person after another, and one horseman after another, an owner that I talked to, and I said, you go to OBS, as we talked about my crazy trip here. They all said, yeah, I'll be at OBS. So it should be a very good wrap up, I think, the last 3 days from the Ocala Breeders Sales Company sale. Looking forward to it. I think I'm looking forward to getting home to my ever-loving, ever-suffering Derby Barbie. Hi, honey, if you're watching. I don't think she is. I think she's a little disgusted with my extended absence.
So, yeah, we'll check in next week for the last stop on the tour, because it's a big day next weekend at Tampa. So we'll get some recaps there as well, and we'll be checking the Twitter feed during the week for all the pictures from Alligator Alley and where the stops are, where the food stops are along the way and whatnot.
Well, I don't take Alligator Alley. I like to swing north and under Lake Okeechobee, and I get to stop, or at least go through my favorite town that has, in fact, I think I missed it. I think it was like last week. I got to look this up. The Swamp Cabbage Festival, with the craziest thing I've ever seen. Tina and I were driving to Tampa years ago. Tommy Proctor gave me instructions, you know, how to, instead of going south to Alligator Alley and then going up, he said, go up north, you know, toward Palm Beach, and then cut across the bottom of the lake. Okay. So all of a sudden there's this huge traffic jam. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I had to get gas. I pulled into a gas station. I said, what is going on here? He said, well, it's the swamp back. It's the swamp cabbage. Swamp cabbage is like the root of the royal palm. You know those palm trees that grow like this?
Yes.
They grow in the edge, you know, on the banks of the Lake Okeechobee. They chop that off. They throw it in a pot and cook it up, you know, like collards, and they eat it. It's like Bill Murray in Oh my God.
You're searching for a celebration when it's swamp cabbage.
So
we will check the Twitter feed to see if maybe you catch it this year.
I don't think I want to catch it. It'll be mid-week. If you want to look up something crazy, look up the Swamp Cabbage Festival. I want to say is the town Portage, Florida? I forget the name of the town, but it's right at the base of the lake. And there's always something fascinating going around.
I'm being told from the control room. What is it? Rubella, Florida. Rubella? LEC. They've got it in the control room, so you can look it up.
LaBelle.
Okay, LaBelle. Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, having you on, we learn something new every week. And so next week we'll check in again on the trip up to Tampa and Ocala. But I'll tell people to pull up the radio show during the week as well. Great recaps with all the major players on the stakes action. Steve, appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Travel safe. We'll talk next week.
Got it. Thanks, Seth.
Thanks a lot, Steve Bick, SiriusXM's At the Races. And again, he has been making the swing, Fairgrounds, Oaklawn, Gulfstream this week, Tampa next week, all of the, oh, there, there it is, yes, the the Swamp Cabbage Festival. All right, well, now we all have to put that on. Oh, he did miss it. It was back at the end of February last week. now we all have to put that on our calendar. All right. Another fun edition of Racing Across America. Again, recapping some really, really good stakes action yesterday. Don't forget, before I wrap up, today, the Hudson Branch. It's a fan appreciation day. If you're a patron down at our Hudson Branch, swing by this afternoon so we can say thank you to you for your patronage. The Hudson Branch this afternoon, fan appreciation day. There's also the bankroll today. Don't forget, check online. There may still be the opportunity to sign up online. But we also have some entries here at the Clubhouse Racebook. 10 folks will get selected online, 5 folks selected here at the Clubhouse Racebook for today's bankroll playing into the mandatory pay Rainbow Six down at Gulfstream Park. They're expecting a couple of $1 million in the pool, so we will try to knock it out of the park and hit the rainbow today down at Gulfstream for the bankroll team. So keep that in mind. Also, thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Appreciate the support of Gulfstream Park. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this Sunday morning Racing Across America. It's been a fun morning. Hopefully you've had some fun and learned some info. And we will be back in probably about an hour or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll be looking at some Aqueduct, some Oaklawn, probably with that mandatory in the rainbow, some Gulfstream as well. And I believe Saratoga Harness is today, right? Yeah, Saratoga Harness. I can see them doing their replays up on the monitor there. So Saratoga Harness came back in the mix a couple of weeks ago, so they're Sunday afternoons now as well. So should be a fun afternoon here on OTB Live on the Capital OTB TV network. So hopefully you stay tuned for all of that. I'm going to step back. We will, as I say, wrap it up for Racing Across America, but back in about an hour or so for OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.